customers that we're speaking choose us on the
Oh, can you do that?
Oh, I would be honored.
Thank you. Thank you.
So.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I welcome you to the house of the Lord. And I do welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our opening hymn tonight is number 128, number 128. I would invite you to kneel with me in prayer. O Lord, our great God, creator and ruler of the universe, we praise you and we bless you. And we thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings of this life and for the promise of the life to come. We praise you for your great goodness and tender mercy. We praise you for your almighty power and boundless love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day that we have had to think upon you, to worship you. And we thank you now, dear Lord, that we have this opportunity to hear your word opened up to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we humbly beg, dear Lord, that you would touch my brother, that his lips would be loosed, that his heart and his mind would be touched by that sweet spirit, and that message that he would bring for us would truly be from thee. Bless us, Heavenly Father, that our ears would be unstopped, that we would hear what we need to hear to arrange our lives in a way that would be right and pleasing in your sight. Dear Lord, we're mindful of those who are sick or afflicted, those who stand in need. We remember those whose names were brought forth this morning, and pray that you would bless them, each one. And so, dear Lord, once more, we praise you and we thank you for this night, this opportunity. Praying all of these things in the blessed name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that you all have made the effort to be here this evening to hear the word of the Lord. I'm thankful that my brother Jerry was here this morning and was willing to accept the invitation to preach to us tonight. And so I ask that you would offer a prayer in your hearts that together we would draw closer to the Lord and his will through a greater understanding of his word. And so I give you my brother and my friend, Elder Jerry Case.
Good evening. I look at on all of you and have a lot of good memories. But you know what? Every Sunday, I also do phone church, and you guys kind of remind me of phone church. We have somebody on the line in a couple different places in Florida, a couple different places in Texas, Missouri, people out driving on the road that are on phone church. We have people in Las Vegas, Nevada, some up northwest. Phoenix, and as I look out here, I see you scattered all over the place. Well, I tell you, also as I look out here, I see people that have also helped set my foot in the path, and I feel small and unworthy. And grateful. But my prayer tonight is that in the weakness of this mortal frame, I can, through the vehicle of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, bring you a message of light, something that you can hang right on to. Something that you can be inspired by, and that you'll be able to leave here into the mission of life, prepared, unafraid. I want to start by a reading that I think is kind of a roadmap for us, and it's pretty short. But I want to read it and give you some time to think about it. I kind of come out of, the last 3 or 4 weeks have been kind of tumultuous, very scattered. It's occupied my mind, and it's hard to, isolate my thoughts and try to think on God and that sort of thing. I'm busy. And as I say that, I'm looking right at you, and I know it's the same for you. But we need to be able to handle that and handle it in a way that every moment we are His, and that every moment we are aware that we are His. Before I start to read this, as I speak these things, I'm talking about when we feel out of control. Or are we? I think we have every reason for that perfect brightness of hope. We have every reason to believe that we are in control of the things that He's given us to hang on to. And that all the strength, all the power, all the ability never was to come from us. It's from Jesus. I'm in the 17th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start reading with verse 65. But for a little background, this is Alma speaking to his son Helaman. And they have been talking about what's going on in the land. I even thought of these things as Gary spoke this morning in prayer service, of the terrible concerns for the indications of the state of our laws and our nation. There's frightful things we're seeing. He spoke specifically about more changes that even through the day of a child's birth, you can murder them. I'm sorry, I don't want to glorify it by saying some other word. And as I say glorify it by saying some other word, let me just say this for a moment. So much of this, on this subject of abortion, it's done in the name of women's rights. In other words, just like when Adam was in the garden and God came and he said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam, just like men do, they want to point somewhere else. They said, "Well, the woman, by the way, that you gave me," you know, everything is somebody else's responsibility. But look at it just as pure as you can. This is being blamed on you, women. Do you accept that? Think about it. It's being done in the name of women's rights. Well, here he's talking about the power that is among the people, these secret combinations that are going on, and these secret works of darkness. When it talks about the armor of righteousness, God's armor, you know, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against
principalities.
But against principalities and powers and evil in high places. It's just exactly that. I couldn't have said it any better. And as Helaman is concerned about these things that are going on around, all around him, and he's concerned about the future and what should he do, that's the background with which I'm going to start reading. A father speaking to a son and giving him very solid advice. So this is on page 441. I really like it if you followed along with me. In the Book of Mormon, it's chapter 17, verse 65, I'm going to start with. "And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not in those secret plans unto this people. But teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil and with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary in good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. For such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support." And these next two verses, you know, take these down. put them on a plaque on your wall. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. And I think of the, he will direct you for good. And I think of the, what is it, the third chap, the third verse of the 23rd Psalm. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's promised throughout the scriptures. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball or a director. So I've kind of finished the core thought that I want you to take home with you today. Honest. But the next few words I'm going to be reading in this reading are really a likeness to help you understand just how powerful this is. So let me restart. I'm going to start with verse 71. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the things which our fathers call a ball or director, or our fathers called it liahona, which is being interpreted a compass. And the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way, they should go. Behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle, and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God, day by day. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did shew unto them marvelous works. But they were slothful, and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. Therefore they tarried in the wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now, this, and the compass was something that was temporal. Since they did not give heed to this compass, they did not prosper. Even so, it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is this not a type of this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. You could nickname it the liahona. We could. A compass, a director, something to show us the way to the promised land. Something to set us on the right course. Personally, in the end, I think it's more powerful just to say it's the Word of God. But I'm going to turn back. I don't feel like I read you any surprises here. I think it's common to us to fall down in prayer. I remember one time, this is back when Skeet Yates was among us. The church was full. It was like at a reunion or conference or something, and somebody came upstairs and came up front, and they said, Skeet Yates is terribly sick, and they've called an ambulance. And they didn't ask from the front for this to happen. Everybody just knelt and cried out to God for him. And he was with us many more years after that. But I don't feel like I need to tell you you need to do that. But I want you to consider the momentary thing. And I'm going to read 69 through and 70 again on page 441. Yea, let all your doings be unto the Lord. All your doings. If you're at school, if you're at work, if you're at the hospital, these things occupy your mind. If you're driving, you have to pay attention. But you can still consider it unto the Lord. Yea, let all your doings be unto the Lord, and with whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let your thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of your heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when you rise in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. I'm going to run over to Psalms, the 24th chapter, because I want to emphasize this. I spoke of this morning in a testimony. Psalm 24. Because I feel like we're right on this subject. You know, first verse, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world that and all that dwell therein, they're all the Lord's. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he will receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God and from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I think that this psalm speaks directly to where our priorities need to be. Everything is in God. And there's really none else. Let me turn over to Messiah, the 11th chapter. Have another example for you. I'm going to start with the 57th verse. And read down through 64. These people were under the rule of another harsh people. They had a very cruel leader that placed heavy burdens on them. And they cried out unto the Lord. And I want you to listen to the detail of it. I'm going to start with verse 57. This is on page 278. Chapter 11, Book of Messiah. I'll start reading with verse 57. And it came to pass that so great were their afflictions that they began to cry mightily unto God. And it came to pass that Amulon commanded them that they should stop their cries. And he put guards over them to watch them, that whosoever should be found calling upon God should be put to death. What's the day that we live in? I know I was a senior manager when I worked for Procter & Gamble, and you had to be so careful what you said. Everything can be held against you. To speak of God was to be forcing somebody, you know, and you could get in trouble. You could lose your job, you know. Here, they're being told, if they cry unto God, he says, put them to death. Kill them. Well, they really didn't do that at Procter & Gamble. But needless to say, we live in a day, it's getting harder. It's getting harder. But let's read on. Because it's really not like you might think. You know, they took prayer out of schools, didn't they? Well, let's see if they really did. So he said if they cry out to God, he said they should be put to death. And it came to pass that Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord their God, but did pour out their hearts to him. And he did know the thoughts of their hearts. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came to them in their affliction, saying, lift up your heads and be of good comfort, for I know the covenant which ye have made unto me, and I will covenant with this my people and deliver them out of bondage. And I will also ease their burdens, which are put upon their shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage. And this will I do, that ye may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, and that ye may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And now it came to pass that the burdens... I have to go back and read those few verses. I want you to hear that today, this minute, in this place, and I want it to be burned into your heart. I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their affliction. It's a promise. It's sure. And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. And let me point out, you know, if you read on, you'll see that the Lord did deliver them from this situation. But when he first talked to them, he didn't tell them, throw down your burdens. They were still upon their backs. He told you, I will strengthen you. And it was so powerful, and they were so strengthened that they did willfully and cheerfully do as they were told. And they submitted to the will of God, and they continued to do the work until he delivered them. I didn't really come to tell you tomorrow everything's going to be rosy. I think the things that Gary talked about in prayer service today are indicators that things are not going to be rosy. They are on a course right now that is ever worsening. And it says, you know, that when you have an evil king, that all the people, all the kingdom suffers, and these things will be upon us. These things will be upon us. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Trump is an evil king. But I am saying there is evil in high places still, today. And it is getting worse. Let me move on. I want to go over to Psalm 91. I think this puts an excellent picture in your heart of the way things really are. And I think about the words that I just read and the fact that when they did not cry out unto God, but they continued to cry out in their hearts, that the Lord did see every word that was in their heart, did every meaning that was there, he knew, and he came to their rescue. He heard the cries of his people. Where is that place? Where is that place? That secret place in your heart that even when you're not doing it out loud, it's still there. It's still there, and it's completely for you at all times, regardless of what's going on. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. This is where it was. This is where that place is in the heart. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Let that soak in. Regardless of what you're doing, regardless of how hard you're working, you can make the Lord your habitation. It's the place that you live, even in the midst of turmoil. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give thy angels charge over thee, to give thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I want to draw a line. I want to just call this to your attention. I'm sure you already know it. What happened to Simon Peter? You know, he stepped out of the boat. And what took place there was by the power of God, and it was a miracle. He walked on the water. But when the wind became boisterous and the waves, he feared and he doubted and he began to sink. And he looked to the Lord, and the Lord reached out his hand and he took him. There's a difference between the things we suffer, the hardships, the cruel boss, the mean teacher, the angry driver. You know, there's a difference between that and evil being able to touch you. And that's what this is talking about. though all these things go all around, all about you, and even affect you. Don't let those wind and the wind and the waves make your faith to fail. Don't let them make you sink. You abide in the secret place of the Most High. And the evil will not touch you. Let me turn over to, you know what? I'm going to remind you again. Chapter 17, you know where I'm going. Alma, chapter 17, verse 69 and 70, as you think about abiding in the secret place of the Most High, as you think about praying in your hearts in private, as you think about making the Lord your habitation, these are some of the details. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let your thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy hearts be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That secret place, dwell in that secret place of the Most High. I know when I was in school, I don't think I ever took a test that I didn't pray. I prayed before the test. I prayed all the way through the test. After I had made all my marks, I was still praying. Make it come out good, Lord. They'll never take prayer out of school. Not as long as there is that secret place in the Most High. We are free. We are free in Christ. And there may be a day where we feel like Simon did, like Peter did, and the wind and the waves are boisterous and our hearts would fail us for fear. But you know, this is not that day. This is not that day. Things are getting too ferocious. When your comrades are falling at your side, is not the time to drop your weapons. And the weapons of your warfare are the armor of Christ. They are the words that you find in these books. They are that compass that directs you to a land of promise forever, forever. So let me just remind you, you have your own detail. You have your own detail. When you leave here, you're going to different homes. And you are going to face different challenges. I sat and I spoke. I was in the Northwest traveling with Joel. And there's one place that we go that there's two different homes, and so when we go, we trade off. If I stayed at that home last time, then Joel and I trade, and I go to the other place this time. And so this time I stayed with Stan and Shirley. And Stan used to be like, he was the pastor. Really sharp guy, really nice guy, and real well-versed in the Word of God. And he is so struggling. He has Alzheimer's. And his wife is on duty 24 hours a day. She has spent her career as a nurse's aide and, you know, working in the hospital, and she's used to taking care of people, but now this is the one she loves the most, you know, and she does it with all her heart, and she says it's a privilege. She says it's a privilege. But she went to put Stan down for the night, get him settled. Settled is a relative term because, as she explained, he gets to bed early and often. He gets back up and he doesn't know where he is, and he wanders the house. And she's found that if she just stays sensitive, and when he starts to get out of bed, she gets up and turns on the light and she goes with him. Every night, without end. And as she went to put him down, she said, she turned around and she pointed her finger at me and she said, "I'm going to put him to bed now, but you don't have to go to bed. And I'm not going to go to bed. Do you understand me?" So I kind of obeyed, and I thought, she's wanting to talk. And so, you know, I stayed up and we talked way into the night, and we prayed, and we were very blessed. But it's just one of those examples where each of us has our own detail that we're going to. But for every one of us, there is no reason to ever leave that secret place of the Most High. To abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It changes your heart. It comforts you, and you walk on water. So pray for me. All of us, our story's not done yet. You know, we have a lot to do. But be in God. He is your strength and your stay. I love you. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you.